On behalf of the brethren here at Salem, Oregon Bible Students Ecclesia, Sisters Joy, Sister Dolores, Sister Barbara, Sister Esther, Sister Evelyn, Sister Erlene, Sister Judy, Sister Millie, Sister Lorianne online, Sister Janice online, Sister Kelly, and Sister Betty, and Brothers Taz, Brother Lou, Brother Darcy, sometimes Brother Jim online,
Brother Rob,
and myself. We most lovingly and heartily welcome you here and online, brethren, and brethren that will yet hear this convention and these wonderful discourses these next 3 days to the 2017 Salem Bible Students Annual Convention. Others will welcome you too, but they'll say that in a different way, maybe centerpieces or books or cookies or table settings, coffee, food, especially food. Those that have made this journey to the Willamette Valley, where Salem lies, may have observed the still snow-covered mountains of the Oregon Cascade Range, the Three Sisters, Bachelor, Jefferson, Hood, and at least 30 others over 7,000 feet. Those are mountains, all impressive. In the scriptures, there are pictures of mountains, and there's pictures of valleys also. The Valley of the Shadow of Death, Psalm 23:4, wherein we learn to not fear because of the blessings of God that He delivers to our hearts throughout our journey. Or the Valley of Baca, of tears, of mourning, which become a source of blessings by the Lord's grace. Psalm 84:6, where the Lord manages every single drop for our benefit. Recall that He puts them all into a bottle and records the event of each in a book. Psalm 56:8. The mountain picture we refer to is the thought of the glory of the Lord's kingdom to come, which we seem to be seeing as clear as the scriptures tell of the old mountains' demise. This mountain picture makes us glad because of the water that comes forth from it already, the water of truth and refreshing. It is a first indication of the certainty of promise that the Lord will establish a better governance than those of imperfect men. This mountain is established at the tops of the mountains and has its blessed house of the Lord at its peak, Psalm 46:4-7. Already the Lord has begun these mountaintop blessings in you. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And in that book, or another in the Lord's library, which He is authoring, is one that is precious to Him, entitled A Book of Remembrance. Do you recall what goes into that book? What is the criteria? Let's read about it. But first, we have props. Got props. So, the props are writing tablets with a pen. So if you don't have those, there's a lot that don't have computers there. So I'm assuming that you might need one of these. And the idea there is to write down the gems that you might hear in the talks, or perhaps one of the brethren's email addresses or contact information, or just things that are significant. We've given plenty of time in between the meetings for fellowship. Make sure you do that little, like a reporter, write it down and capture those blessings. Okay, so about the Book of Remembrance. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. When is this then wherein some feared the Lord? Isn't it even at the end of the age, just now? And how pleased do you suppose the Lord is to hear us speak together and often about him, about the Lord? What do you think the Lord delights for us to pass through our conversation lips, which is worthy to write in his book? Would it not be the refreshing testimonies of our hearts, openly shared as so many rich retellings of just exactly how our hearts burned within us when he spoke to us by means of each other and experiences along the way? Luke 24:32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? We are here because of a conversation that the Lord is having with each of us. We read, and we meet, and we pray, and we learn by experiences about the manifold communion of saints. Psalm 50, verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. It is this instruction we seek to emulate in the next few days. Gathering his saints, his people, that set themselves apart every single day to have conventions with and about the Lord. These are they that seek not the easy road, nor the broad. These do not fear to move into the light lest a lion attack. Oh no, these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Revelation 14:4-5. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. How is it that we follow the Lamb? Is it something we are thinking about doing someday, like someday going on a diet? These are they that are following the Lamb and will continue to follow the Lamb for all eternity. What have these to talk about? Well, we just read that there was no guile in their mouths. That means there was no deceit. There were no lies. There was no evil speaking. Just truth. The truth. They follow the Lamb with every happifying evidence of deliverance from burden he gives to each of us every single day. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we are humble, first of all. Humble enough to ask, why me? Why has the Creator of the universe reached down to the lowly me and not someone smarter, someone handsomer, someone richer, popular, articulate, high achiever, nearly perfect person rather than I? He did look at those things, but that's not his criteria. But that will be his work in the ones he did choose. Just not by the world's or by Satan's standards does he judge smartness. He grants heavenly wisdom, which is first pure. He looks for beauty, but not as man seeth. For man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. He has also made us rich indeed and has given us his instruction about how to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. Popular? We're made a gazing stock and living epistles. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. There, right there. That is the reason for gathering. That is the reason for all the Lord's watch care and tender mercies descending upon you, your heart. It is a humble heart, the one that is meek before the Lord, teachable in the school of His instruction, awaiting every assignment with fullness of assurance, and beginning first with a willing mind. Are you here today to be a conduit of blessing for your brother or your sister? Are you here to hear the testimony of another's touched life that the Lord will use to bless you in the coming days? Consider it carefully, for the Lord already has planned out these next few days to help you see something extraordinary, so that your valley route will lead you up the mountain too. Yes, this is the goal, but it starts in little ways of doing good and letting the Lord ooze, or perhaps gush, from your heart. Here's one example of how to prepare to be fully equipped to fill up the heart with blessings. Bear in mind, greeting the brethren is not always about what I'm about to tell you, but it is one desired way. A sister in the Salem Ecclesia, has a longtime grade school friend that reminds this sister how she feels about the brethren when you walk into the room here at convention time. It seems that every time Claire, this longtime grade school friend of the sister, is called on the phone by the sister, Claire's surprise that the sister has called her again is so genuine, it's evidenced by her exclamation of this sister's name in long, drawn-out glee. I like that. It's genuine, and it's so very welcoming. So if each one of your names was Brethren, let's try it. Brethren! Try it. Brethren! I didn't hear you. Brethren! Okay. Are we glad to see each other? Yes, indeed. We are so glad to see one another. And let us make sure, absolutely sure, that we hear the pulse beat of every heart that will gather here each day. And for brethren online, be engaged by your comments online. Brother Darcy's right there to engage back with you, and you can engage with one another right there online. You know how to do that. Or you can email any of us that you see as the camera pans, and perhaps you see someone that you haven't talked to in a while, go ahead and email them during the convention. What a blessing. And any general comments, you could also email to salembiblestudents@gmail.com, and we'll be monitoring that. We want your blessings and to be a blessing to you all as well. Be sure to have your ears open to the Lord's words by means of the few elders that we've invited to speak for your everlasting benefit. Can you imagine that? Your everlasting benefit. They have prepared many hours just to give you a few memorable words, and you're going to forget most of them. They do not know which of their 5,000 words will touch your heart, but the Lord knows what you have need of. Be diligent, therefore, in your hearing. You will have come a far way to get here. You may have made sacrifices online to be online right now. So if you've come this far, let the absorbing of blessings soak your heart and your mind with the sweet nectar of His grace. Psalm 149:1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. The Lord add his blessing to your heart.